Radio Prague News.
Email accounts at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs have been attacked by hackers. Andrej Babiš plans to file a complaint against Czech television over reports on his business activities. And Miloš Zeman is discussing with associates whether to stand again for president. Hackers broke into email accounts at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and downloaded data over a period of several months, Na of Livni.cz reported on Tuesday. Among the accounts hacked were those of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Lubomir Zaharalek, and his deputies. The news site Lidovky.cz quoted Mr. Zaharalek as saying it was a very sophisticated attack. He said an unknown state was evidently behind these cyber hacks, which were of a similar nature to those of carried out against the Democratic National Convention in the US. Now, Livni.cz quoted security sources as saying thousands of pieces of data, including classified information, had been gradually downloaded from the email accounts. However, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has denied that the stolen materials included secret information. The Czech Minister of Finance, Andrej Babiš, plans to file a complaint against Czech television over reports on two of its news programmes, the news website ihned.cz reported on Tuesday. Mr. Babiš says the investigative show Reportéři Čete recently celebrated its 20th manipulated report about his business ties. The billionaire businessman and ANO leader recently accused journalists from the programme of being corrupt. Mr. Babiš said it and the show, 160 osm hodin, were not balanced and that Czech TV shouldn't take part in political battles. The two programmes have raised questions about some financial operations involving the minister's company Agrofert. And the Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka of the Social Democrats has called on ANO chief and finance minister Andrej Babiš to clarify his past incomes. Attention has been focused on how Mr. Babiš raised the funds to purchase bonds in his company Agrofert in 2013. Mr. Sobotka said suspicions surrounding the finance minister's dealings could undermine the work of the government and the authority of the Ministry of Finance. Mr. Babiš has dismissed the questioning of his business activities as politically motivated. Czech President Miloš Zeman has begun discussing whether to run again for head of state with a number of close associates. His spokesman Jiří Ovčáček said on Tuesday. Mr. Ovčáček said Mr. Zeman, who's 72, had not yet reached the decision on whether to stand in elections next January. The former Social Democrats leader plans a major news conference for the 10th of March, and there has been speculation he will use that occasion to announce plans to seek a second and final five-year term. The Czech Republic's men's tennis team trained on the centre court at Melbourne's Kooyong Club on Tuesday for the first time, ahead of this weekend's Davis Cup first-round tie with Australia. Non-playing captain Yaroslav Navratil says he plans to select Jiří Veselý and the Davis Cup debutant Jan Šatral, who's 26, for the opening doubles rubber on Friday. The weather, it should be cloudy and snowy on Wednesday in the Czech Republic, with temperatures of up to 0 degrees Celsius expected. The rest of the week is set to see daytime highs of up to 2 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Chris Johnston. Coming up in today's programme, internet firms warn government plans will make them an easy target for hackers. Placido Domingo prepares for the Czech event of the year. And later, it's a score draw at the Metropolitan Opera. All that coming up, so please stay with us. Internet firms have appealed to the country's Prime Minister, Bohuslav Sobotka, to halt plans for a new military intelligence bill, which would give military intelligence more powers to police the internet. The government is seeking to bolster cyber security in the Czech Republic, but critics worry the bill would give too much power to a single entity. Jan Wellinger spoke to Andrej Filip, the CEO of CZNIC, administering Czech domain names, who is critical of the idea.
I don't think it's really necessary if you want to protect the country to wiretap all the communication, which is actually what is written in that bill. You know, they want to install either passive or active devices into operators' network, and that creates a bunch of problems with privacy and also with security itself, because installing some devices under single control into all operators' networks creates a new vector of attack instead of creating better security. The attacker, instead of attacking all the different networks, has just one organization which attack, and when he succeeds, then he has control over the all networks, or at least he can wiretap all the operators. So it's really good place to attack. We don't believe this is the right way how to protect the country.
How is it possible that this is not obvious, the danger of that? I'm trying to wrap my head around this because it seems pretty clear from what you're saying that it's not the best idea.
Well, I'm afraid they really believe that this state-controlled or government-controlled organization can make the security better than the private organizations, and that's something I really disagree with. I believe that the real security should lie on, you know, organizations that run the network, and, you know, more security devices into network which are not under your control doesn't help you. Military intelligence never had such responsibility. We don't know much about their expertise, of course, but from what, for example, the director of the military intelligence said, they want to hire a new people to create this program. So that means that there is currently no expertise there, and I don't think they are ahead of the commercial sector. I don't think that's true, so that's why I'm so afraid them, you know, operating the networks.
What would be a solution or an alternative solution for you? Would it be greater cooperation, a sharing of information on how to tackle cybersecurity?
Absolutely. I believe that the operators should cooperate more among themselves and also with the government. I think we can strengthen the current standards, how the networks are secured, what kind of people are operating the networks, everything that is possible. But I think it's necessary to keep the heterogeneous matter of the network inside Czech Republic, and there should be no single entity that operates the network.
Nothing is set in stone yet. The matter is still up for discussion. Are you confident that the riskiest elements of this proposed bill, that they still can be changed, modified, or even thrown out?
I'm definitely not confident, but I have a good faith when I, you know, heard what Prime Minister said, that this must be reconsidered again, that he wants to talk about this law again. So I hope he will take our argument seriously, and hopefully he will amend the law in the way that will be better for this country.
Andrei Filip ending that report by Jan Wellinger. Now, the world-renowned opera singer Placido Domingo is to conduct two performances of Mozart opera Don Giovanni at the Estates Theatre in Prague in October, to mark 230 years since Mozart himself conducted the premiere of this famous opera in the very same opera house. Domingo visited Prague this week to launch preparations for the cultural event of the year.
No other famous opera is so closely linked to Prague as Don Giovanni. Mozart wrote the opera for Prague and himself conducted its world premiere at the Estates Theatre on October 29th of 1787. It was a special favour to Prague audiences, where his music traditionally got a more enthusiastic reception than in Vienna. The premiere was a huge success, and Mozart is quoted as having said, "My Praguers understand me." 230 years later, Prague is preparing to mark the anniversary in grand style at the Estates Theatre where it premiered. And the star at the centre of this illustrious occasion is none other than the world-famous tenor Placido Domingo. Mr. Domingo was in Prague this week to oversee the preparations for the autumn premiere and told journalists at a press briefing he hoped Don Giovanni would give the Czech capital the cultural recognition it deserved.
Prague needs to be known more around the world by the city that the miracle happens of this masterpiece. But not only the premiere of Don Giovanni's, but the unbelievable city, cultural city. Just to know that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart select Prague to do his first Don Giovanni is amazing.
Placido Domingo, who also has a love of Prague, reportedly himself suggested the idea of directing Don Giovanni in Prague on the occasion of the opera's 230th anniversary. He will not only direct two performances of the opera using a copy of the original score, but will act as artistic director and cultural ambassador for the event. The lead singers will be handpicked at the international contest Operalia, which Placido Domingo sponsors, and other roles will be filled by local singers whom the tenor has already started to audition. Culture Minister Daniel Herman, who welcomed Placido Domingo in Prague, said the upcoming Don Giovanni anniversary would be an occasion to remember.
Vrátit se do míst, pro které byla tato díla psaná.
The return of this opera to the city it was written for, its return to the opera house where the very walls are permeated with this historic event, will be an exceptional and unique experience. Daniel Herman, the culture minister, ending that report by Daniela Lazarova. On the occasion of the Metropolitan Opera's new production of Antonín Dvorak's Rusalka, which premieres on February the 2nd, the Czech Centre in New York has prepared a unique exhibition featuring the original score of the famous opera. It's the first time in history that the rare manuscript has left the territory of the Czech Republic. Ruth Frankova reports.
The rare manuscript of Antonín Dvořák's Rusalka goes on display on Wednesday at the National Bohemian Hall in New York. Along with the score, visitors will get the chance to see other treasures related to the opera, including René Fleming's costumes from the Met. The exhibition, which was prepared in cooperation with the National Museum in Prague, the Dvořák American Heritage Association and the Metropolitan Opera, is just part of a month-long celebration of Rusalka. Other events include lectures, film screenings, concert, and even a special Dvořák menu offered by the Bohemian Spirit restaurant. I spoke to Barbara Karpetová, head of the Czech Center in New York, and I first asked her how the idea for the project arose.
The idea came very naturally with the third production of Rusalka at the Metropolitan Opera ever. And because of our long-lasting collaboration with the Metropolitan Opera, there was a very, I would say, natural step to say, all right, how are we going to contribute? And there was the idea of a one-month-long project, a peak of which is the manuscript of Rusalka coming for the first time to the United States. The manuscript itself, in fact, never left the country. So it is a very special thing, and I guess for both cast and Metropolitan Opera patrons, it's going to be quite a bit of the excitement to come over to the Bohemian National Hall and to view the manuscript, and obviously all the other events which are going with it hand in hand.
As you said, the manuscript has left the Czech lands for the first time in history. Has it already arrived at the National Bohemian Hall?
Yes, it has. It's already in the safe of the Consul General at the diplomatic soil. All the transportation was quite special. There was a big involvement of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the General Consulate of the Czech Republic in New York. And it seems that today the conductor of Rusalka, Sir Mark Elder, is coming to see it.
The manuscript will be exhibited within an exhibition called Rusalka, which will be on display at the National Bohemian Hall. What else will be on display apart from this rare manuscript?
Well, the National Museum of the Czech Republic really brings the treasures of its collections. I would really deeply appreciate to share this with the American audience because the Dvořák's American Diary is going to be on display. Then we're going to have the correspondence of Antonín Dvořák and Gustav Mahler about possible world premiere of Rusalka in Vienna, which in fact did not happen at the end. And we're going to see and listen to the old records of Rusalka from the old vinyls. So I think for the visitors, it's going to be definitely quite a surprise to see all of those unique collection artifacts. There will be as well a little part dedicated to the premiere of Rusalka in Prague in the year 1901. These parts of the collection belong to the National Theatre, and they were generous enough to broad these as well. So big thanks to all of those partners, because it is indeed not easy to bring them overseas.
And as you said, the exhibition is just one part of these month-long celebrations of Dvořák's Rusalka. So what other events will be taking place in New York?
Well, there are, in fact, three different exhibitions. There is the exhibition focusing on manuscript. Then we have the photographic exhibition of the pictures of Villa and the Lake Rusalka. There is as well an interesting artistic exhibition of the paintings on the third floor of the Bohemian National Hall too. At the same time, we're going to have, as a part of a grand opening, screening of film Rusalka from 70s with Magdalena Vashariova, who is in fact coming over. So that will be quite a treat. And then on February the 1st, for the grand opening, we're going to have a concert at the ballroom of the National Bohemian Hall. And we were lucky enough to persuade Gabriela Beniaczkova, who was the first Rusalka at the Metropolitan Opera, to come over and to sing. And her partners will be Peter Nekoranets, the young Czech opera singer who just won a really impressive competition of Placido Domingo in Barcelona, and an American singer, David Lay, both of them being the members of the Metropolitan Opera Young Artists Program. So there is something, what I would call the meeting of the legend and the hope of the Czech opera under the sign of Nation for Itself, which we have here on the fourth floor in the ballroom.
The month-long celebrations of Dvořák's Rusalka will also be marked at the Bohemian Spirit Restaurant, which is located at the National Bohemian Hall. So what will be on the menu?
Well, we're marking here Dvořák's heritage. And the idea came from the fact that Dvořák's father was a butcher and the innkeeper. And he planned for his son to, you know, follow his trail, but for all of the lovers of the music, that fortunately did not happen. However, the restaurant chef was very keen on searching what was Dvořák's favorite food, and he found interesting things. He found out that Dvořák, in fact, was a hearty eater, and he was able to eat about 20 plum dumplings at one spot. So we're going to have a typical Czech cuisine inspired by the 19th century, on top of which the plum dumplings will be, I guess, for all of the New Yorkers, the speciality they are going to try for the first time as well.
Now, going back to the performance of Rusalka at the Metropolitan Opera, I guess many Americans connect Rusalka with the legendary performance starring Renee Fleming. Who will be featuring in the lead role this time?
This time is Christina Arpelayas. She is the Metropolitan Opera guest, and we are all very much looking forward to hearing, you know, what will be her interpretation. I should say that Renee Fleming will be, in a way, with us, because her costumes from the second production will be here at the gallery on display. And then she very kindly sent a personal note expressing her special relationship to Rusalka, her Czech heritage. One of her grandmothers was Czech. And it's beautifully written, it's framed, it's already on the wall. And in such a way, we are in fact going to have all three New York Rusalkas here on board. Gabriela Benyachkova is coming over. René Fleming will come and see the manuscript later on at the time of the grand opening. She's out of New York. And Christina Palayas is coming for the VIP opening of the cast.
And I believe this is only the third performance of Rusalka in the history of the Metropolitan Opera, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it is quite surprising, considering the fact that Dvořák really very much connected his life with New York. He was the director of National Conservatory. He was asked by Janice Ferber, the directress of Conservatory, to come over and to, I would say, contribute to American national music of the 19th century, which he did. But obviously, for New Yorkers, it's the Symphony from the New World, which sort of reminds them of Dvořák. Interestingly enough, Rusalka was premiered at the Metropolitan Opera only in 19th of the last century, nearly 90 and more years after its premiere in Prague, which is surprising. But, you know, that's how the opera works, and we are very happy that this time we're having this, you know, very special event, something what is called in the New York media, Opera Lovers Must See event. So it happened after more than 100 years from the time when he composed the opera, which is believed by some people was conceived, as they say, here in the United States. This is something what we cannot prove, but there is this mystery about it.
Barbara Karpetova, head of the Czech Center in New York, ending that report by Ruth Frankova. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be very pleased to hear from you. But from me, Chris Johnston, thanks very much for joining us, and goodbye.